Welcome to the Voices of Idaho with Dan Prinzing and Adam Thompson.
Hey there.
This season, we're focusing on being an upstander and the acts of being an upstander. Today is a conversation between Adam and me. We're going to talk because, as we introduced, this season is a journey in which each of us are defining who am I, what am I, how can I be an upstander. Adam, in the last three episodes, what was an aha moment or a takeaway that kind of grabbed you?
Yeah, Dan, that's a great question. I think for me, what was most impactful was just going back to that third episode in this season, where Whitney Mostel was talking about how you don't have to have read everything to just stand up, just like being an upstander. And that a lot of people feel like they have to be mute until they know everything. And in reality, it's a lot simpler than that. You just have to do what you know is right.
You know, and I, echoing with that, Adam, I appreciated in her discussion, it made me think, you know, education is lifelong.
Yeah.
We believe in, and of course, the center is an education center. So we believe in lifelong learning and that there are always new books being read. I will have never gotten to the depth of a topic. And to your point, at what point do you just say, I got to start acting? That I now have enough knowledge that I need to step out there and step up when I recognize injustice.
So then what about you, Dan? What was a moment that stood out to you in these episodes so far in season two?
You know, for me, and of course, this is where we speak as two different generations. It was when Sarah shared in a very, very poignant comment at the end of her episode. She said, my children are not me. When she recognized that her personality, her passion leads to a certain area of influence and action, and recognizing that her children are different people. That, be they more introvert, that how do they interpret, how will they become involved? And I think what a phenomenal lesson for all of us, because in that, she echoed what we keep saying. We don't each do the same thing. It's just that we each do something. And that even her children will define for themselves what will they do. They don't have to be mom. That's mom's mission. That's mom's calling. And so I just appreciated that distinction there with it, because I think as a parent and myself, even as a grandparent, and you know, we would like, you know, it's that hope that we have taught and empowered our kids, our grandkids, enough that they will do something. I thought that was such an important moment in the conversation.
So in our introduction episode this season, we both hit on how this season's goal would be to define who we are. So taking into account the upstanders that we've heard from so far, how have they shaped how you see yourself?
Well, I think what we've unraveled in these last three episodes, and in reading, sorry, I got to take this back, because Joni started us on a phenomenal journey. Joni shared to me what became almost a worldview that's going to give us a little added definition to who and what we are. But I've three points have really come out to me. That to be an upstander is this nature or nurture. Am I born an upstander, or am I cultivated to be an upstander? I think we've already heard both. There are those that it's just in their DNA. It's just Sarah LaWall standing at 10 years old, knowing at that moment this is what needed to be done. Or Whitney and the instruction by her mother of how you act, what you do, nature and nurture. I think it's one of those that wherever, however, this is born within us, recognizing that's a part of who we are. I think this is an important milestone on this journey, that we come to grips with how did this start, and do I clearly see this within myself? There's another piece, and I think it's become an important, almost repeated episode by episode in these first three, and it is the role of passion and compassion. Each of the voices have brought such passion to the conversation. Passion on the issues. Passion on how they have defined within each their own lives. But it's also that sense of compassion for shared humanity, that even when I recognize, okay, maybe the injustice I see is not my own story, but I have that compassion for a shared humanity that engages me, that will call upon me to act. So I'm enjoying, as I grapple within myself, is it born out of passion or compassion? Is it the wedding of both? That one fuels the other, but both must be present. I have to be passionate about the issues. I have to be passionate about humanity. But I also have to bring compassion. A third piece in the journey we've had thus far, and how well it has been articulated, and it's just as the point you made when Whitney talked about reading the books. There is a role for education. Now, you're right. Maybe we won't have time to read all the books. But there is that fundamental issue that I do have to become educated on the issues. It is my knowledge base from which I'm going to act. I think that is an area, maybe heightened during a pandemic, because there's so much we're prohibited from doing. So what am I doing now? I think we're seeing and hearing from a lot of folks that are educating themselves. The questions that are being asked, the reading that they're doing, the podcast they're listening to, trying to grapple within themselves, what are the issues? So I think there is a very important role for education. Of course, and I would say that too, WASMA Center for Human Rights, that is our fundamental mission. But also, in these first three episodes, that's always been coupled with conversation. That, and it's kind of like you and I introduced in our introduction to season two, it's what we always say about the memorial. It's not enough just to think about it. The next step, we do want to talk about it. That is the relationship between education and conversation, reflection, conversation. But of course, we always have to bring in, what's that third piece now? We have to act upon it. What action will be the byproduct or the outgrowth of our education and our conversation? We recognized, even as we have been asked so often since the murder of George Floyd, when folks were calling businesses, were checking in with, what can I do? Well, the very first thing that's starting is people are having a conversation, and we are talking about some pretty tough issues. Issues that for many, we did not want to acknowledge that they existed. But now we can no longer cover them. To recognize systemic racism. To recognize what that does to a community. To recognize how we are all impacted by that. Whether I have been targeted because I'm a person of color or not, we are all impacted by systemic racism?
I think that's where it comes into play for me, you know, because I like to think of myself as not a racist, but that still means I need to continue to be educating myself further on the topic and understanding it more, because whether or not I think I'm a racist, I am living in systemic racism, and it's happening all around me.
Well, and I'll go back to say, you know, and as we've even said it in these first three episodes, we don't know what we don't know. Okay. Why are we hearing people use the term now that people are woke or awakened to what they did not recognize?
Right. And can we ever even be fully awake?
I'm going to say no. That this is a lifelong. Just as much as we believe in lifelong learning, I think a call for justice, the call to be upstanders, is going to be a lifelong call. And I think it's going to look very different for you and me. That each of us, as we define that, as we keep saying, it's not going to look the same. That which calls you to action may be very different than me. But what are we going to share in this? What's going to be our point of intersect, Adam?
I think the point of intersect is that we each learn that there's something we need to do.
Something that we need to do, and then to each for to determine, and what's that going to be? What am I going to do? And I've often told when I speak with student groups, I said, maybe you would never see me on a picket line. Maybe that's not my personality, but I write a darn good letter. Is that what I can bring to the cause? Put the power to the pen to begin making the argument. Okay. Maybe that's the skill I can bring to the table.
Yeah.
You know, in the last couple of years, I've started doing a lot of environmental activism. And I think one of the reasons why I was really excited for this season is to get a chance to see where these upstanders' motivation comes from, because that's something I've been struggling with personally. When I first started with the Sunrise Movement, I had so much motivation, and I don't feel like I do anymore. And I know it's still there, but I think what I needed is just to hear some of these stories, some of these experiences, and see where those embers are, that fire that makes you want to take action.
Ooh, I love that. Where the embers are, because I think that's what we're encountering this season. Where are the sparks? Where are the sparks that ignite each of us? So why the environment? Why is that your cause?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that a majority of my passion for environmental activism comes from long, warm summer days out on the river with my best friends. You just can't beat that when you're 10 or 12 or 14, and all you have to do is lay around and hang out on the river and eat chips and build forts and be kids. Those are some of the most memorable moments of my life, without a doubt. So I would say that's sort of the main pull factor for me wanting to do environmental activism, but I would say there's also a push factor. And the push factor, unfortunately, is a lot more fear-based. It's, you know, the realization that if we can't reverse climate change in the next 10 years, then we're going to be looking at losing our ability to farm. We're going to be losing drinkable water. And if you look at it, I mean, Warren Buffett's investing in water. What does that tell you?
You know, when I'm listening to that, Adam, immediately I'm thinking back. President John F. Kennedy said, we all drink the same water. We all breathe the same air. What for you, a passion to protect the environment? For me, a shared experience of all humanity. We share this. It's our commonality. So for me, recognizing the need for civility and respect for all members of the human family. The need to recognize that we are so all interconnected, that to demean or marginalize one impacts the all. I think those are the parts on this journey that are starting to come out. These are the pieces that we'll continue to talk about in the next episodes of The Voices of Idaho.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the Wasp Center podcast. We'll have another episode up on the 15th, so check it out then. And until then, have a good one.
Can we walk this road together? I can't travel it alone. I need someone beside me to help me find my way back home. 'Cause this world is full of anger, and I've been walking through some pain. So if we walk this road together, we can find our way back home again. It's a home of many colors, no ceilings and no walls, but there is room for all our brothers, with no graffiti in the halls. We can share this road together. So if you walk with me, my friend, with you right here beside me, we'll find a home with peace again. It's a home of many colors, no ceilings and no walls, but there is room for all our brothers, with no graffiti in the halls. We can share this world together. So if you walk with me, my friend, with you right here beside me, we'll find our home with peace again.